Rick Lischer is a Lutheran professor, a Lutheran pastor, and a professor at Duke Divinity School, who way back in his seminary days in the late 1960s was assigned to serve as part of his training at a large urban congregation that did some 40 funerals every year. One day, the senior pastor called Rick into the church office and said, "We've got a small funeral this afternoon, and as part of your training, I want you to officiate this funeral." Well, Rick recalls panicking in the moment because he had apparently skipped the liturgy class on funerals and didn't know the first thing about what to do in the moment. So the senior pastor took him into the parish hall and grabbed a piece of chalk. You remember the white chalk that we used to have in grade school? And began diagramming the funeral service on the old tired linoleum floor of the parish hall. I think every parish hall must have old tired linoleum. Like a coach, he drew the action of the service play by play. And then he pulled a small vial from his coat pocket, a vial of ashes, the kind we use on Ash Wednesday. And he said, "At the end of the service, at the time of the committal, go to the head of the casket and very carefully sprinkle the ashes in the shape of a cross. Don't be sloppy. Make it a neat cross." Rick remembers asking the senior pastor, "Why so much precision in that moment? After all, if death is not sloppy, not chaotic, then what is? Earth to earth and ashes to ashes. And why so much precision with the sign of the cross?" Because Christ goes to the grave with us. And the cruciform seal reminds us of that truth. We pick up that theme, those who were here last Wednesday, as part of Ash Wednesday, when we are marked with a cross of ashes on our foreheads. Baptism does it too. When we are sealed by the Holy Spirit in baptism and marked as Christ's own forever with holy oil, balm for the broken soul. And make no mistake, we are all broken souls. That's what it means to be human, of humus, of the earth, dust to dust, ashes to ashes. Lent is this season, this 40 days in which we unfold this, we unpack it, we mark time differently, we do things differently with this odd litany on the first Sunday, and we'll change some of our prayers and the words when you receive communion. We mark time differently so that we might just come to terms with the truth of our brokenness, our humanness, which is not to say bad. If you've been taught somewhere along the way that broken means bad, shuck it off. Let it go. Turn to something else. If the church has been part of that calumny teaching you that, I beg your forgiveness in the church's name and say, we must do it differently. Lent is the time to do it differently together when we bring to the surface the truth of our brokenness, yes, our imperfections, but not to beat us up, but instead to invite us to reflect in a fresh new way that we might turn into new life. We use the language of sin and repentance for this, which I know those terms carry a lot of baggage for their misappropriated power, but let's be clear, sin is simply the word we use to describe when we come up short, when we miss the mark. Sin is not about scorekeeping our wrongdoings, like you keep a litany of the things that you've fouled up in life. No, it's just about acknowledging our state of brokenness, the ways we cut the life-giving cords of relationships. And we all do it. It's human nature. Sin, though, does not existentially replace your mark of goodness as a child and creature of God with a mark of badness. We'll unpack temptations from that gospel this morning and how they apply to us and our lives. We'll unpack that Wednesday night. But today I want to focus on that Old Testament passage of Adam and Eve. It brings me up short every time it's read in church. Every time I read it at home, I suspect it is for some of you as well. It brings me up short because it has been used to explain the origins of sin as being caused by one person in ancient history. Paul picks up that thread, Augustine does too, many others. I don't find it helpful. Or even worse, that suggesting the fall in the Garden of Eden somehow explains the depravity of humans, especially the female kind. That's crap, folks. That's a theological word of the moment. That's more misappropriated power. Church has been doing it for a long time. And we would do well to step away from such stuff, from such interpretations. The truth is, Adam and Eve are archetypal images for all of us, males, females, everyone on the spectrum. This is my story. This is your story. I am Eve. I am Adam. Been there, done that. We'll do it again. I am broken. I fall short. I miss the mark. I need community. I need you to help me make sense of this thing we call life. I need God to reorient me into the goodness with which He has innately embedded with me. And when God calls out in the garden, "Where are you?" It's not at a fit of anger because they screwed up. No, it's out of that divine goodness that embedded it in us and connects us with God forever, out of that love of God. And God says, out of that love, "Where are you? Come back. This is our story." Some theologians even suggest that this story invites us to consider that only by the contrasted light of our brokenness can we begin to really see our innate goodness. You see, the contrast is where we get the sublime gift of goodness that is ours. We have to vulnerably strip down. Language in the Bible is we have to realize we're naked, because deep down, vulnerably deep down, that's where our true selves are. And that's the self that God wants the relationship with. And I know we want that as well. Which brings me to the notion of repentance. Rick Lisher says that we often mistake regret for repentance. Regret doesn't want to turn away from the thing that is misguided. Regret wants to continually beat us up, loves beating us up. Regret will hold on to that thing forever and a day. Repentance says there's another way into which we might turn. There's an answer that might make things right, which means whole, the relationships. Repentance carries us toward the goal of reconciliation. And isn't that what we all really want deep down? You have maybe heard me describe repentance as turning around. So if you're trying to drive down to Portland, but you get on I-5 and you head up north, you're never going to make it to Portland until you get off an exit ramp, go over the bridge, and get back on I-5 south, and then hoping that a truck hasn't turned over and shut the whole thing down, you head south to Portland, to where you want to go. That's repentance. And the good news, folks, is that life is strewn with exit ramps, turnarounds, by which we can make such changes. It's never a dead end. Never. None of that changes the reality of our brokenness, but neither does it remove the mark of our inherent goodness. And so we change things up in Lent to cajole us out of our doldrums, to release us from all the familiar trappings of life lived along rote patterns. We are invited to do it differently these 40 days. We change things up in Lent so that we might awaken anew to the gifts of God for the people of God. Among them, an indelible mark of goodness as creatures of God, seen best in the contrasted light of our brokenness. Another gift, the seasonal reminder that we are dusted retinue of the earth, connected to the whole, always and forever, and that is a good thing. That we are loved by a passionate God whose embrace is undying and prevails over death. That we are accompanied in this broken life with a Christ who calls us into community bearing Christ's name, and it's there that we might find our way. All of these gifts are offered, ironically, paradoxically, in the form of a cross on our foreheads, on our hearts, in our lives, in our souls. It's all a mindful way of knowing that this earthy life is messy, it's sloppy, it's chaotic, but not bad. By God's grace, never irredeemably bad. And with that, and with each other, we might just make our way to the cross and all that it holds for us. And yes, even beyond, into that Easter hope which we have today, which helps us hold on to joy and gladness even here. Because with those gifts, my friends, surely we will find our way together. And for that, may God's holy name be praised. Amen.